While the Lamar Jackson saga does continue in the NFL, we're going to talk about these first round draft pick quarterbacks, or at least the ones we project to finish in the first round. It's going to be an interesting offseason in NFL draft class. We'll break all this down. Who gets C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, all the guys, and even a fifth quarterback could go in the first round. We'll talk about those guys and more right here in the Locked On NFL podcast of the Friday edition with Chris Carter and your boy Q. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL Podcast. It's Chris Carter and your boy Q back again here breaking things down at the end of the week for you. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting app, but especially on YouTube. Like this video if you see it on YouTube. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of your daily Monday through Friday episodes. Thanks for checking out the Locked On NFL Podcast. Q, we're back in the saddle again. I missed you last week because I was covering March Madness. And all the craziness that's going on there. More upsets coming up Thursday night here, and it's going to be a wild time there. But NFL is always wild in free agency. There's a lot of signings, but of course, the saga that everyone's paying the most attention to is Lamar Jackson. The NFL warns teams to not negotiate with a non-NFLPA certified agent regarding Lamar Jackson. It's a wild time. You got him doing workout videos, and man, it's not like... Even if these two teams, even if these two parties come to an agreement at the end, or if Lamar Jackson just ends up playing on the franchise tag, there are definitely some wrinkles in this relationship now that where, you know, before he was the man, he represented the Ravens. He was the face of the organization. Now there's a lot of questions as far as do they want him to be the face because of how they're treating him financially.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a sticky situation, right? And we all kind of knew that it was going to end up becoming, you know, a little hairy, but I didn't think it was going to be where it's at now. I mean, I really didn't. I looked at this situation like, all right, Lamar's going to have an opportunity to go out there, maybe negotiate with a few other teams. Maybe there's a team that actually gives an offer sheet. He goes back, Baltimore matches it, signs him. They hug, they kiss, they kumbaya, good day. They're all back together. But now all of a sudden you're talking about guys that aren't certified by the NFLPA, allegedly, kind of representing Lamar, and Lamar saying that that's BS, and he's tweeting out things about contracts, about what was really offered and what wasn't, going up against what Adam Schefter had to say, and it's just now all of a sudden it's getting into a pissing match, right? And that's what you never want, because now that's when relationships get really jacked up, that's when feelings start to get hurt, and that's when guys like Lamar say, you know what, it's not even about the money, it's about you, I don't want you anymore, or else they get into the point where they're like, you know what, it ain't about the money, it's about you, and we don't want you anymore. So this really seems like a situation that it feels like it's headed for divorce, but I at the same time don't think it's headed for divorce just yet. But I feel like the relationship is very fractured, and there's not really a coming back from it. It's, you know what I mean, like when you put the franchise tag on a guy and then all of a sudden you work things out, it's like, okay, cool, we're good. But this feels like it's gone way farther than expected. And at one point, Chris, we were talking about it, just pay the man, get it over with. It's done. He's a great player, this, that, and the other. Now it's way beyond pay the man. Now it's personal. There's accusations being thrown. This is when it starts to get real ugly.
It is. And now, especially because Lamar Jackson, again, he's been the guy that's carried the Ravens. Like, there's as much as people want to try to minimize what he does by calling him a running back who throws the ball occasionally, or saying this, that, and the third about him, Lamar Jackson is the biggest reason why the Ravens have been competitive in recent years. Again, I remind everyone when he was a rookie and the Ravens threw him in, John Harbaugh was headed out the door. And then all of a sudden he wasn't headed out the door because Lamar Jackson started playing well. And that set up that new era that they had going on for the Ravens here. I look at this like the guy's too important to let go. He's represented so much for your fan base. I think he represents so much more if you keep him. But like you said, this is this relationship doesn't, it's harder to see that if this relationship is strained from you know, passive aggressive message passing, I guess.
Right. And the thing about it also, the other layer to this is since he doesn't have an agent and they can only negotiate with him, now all of a sudden, if Baltimore really wants to be ugly about the situation and none of us on the outside really know how the negotiations are going or what the truth really is, now they could say, well, you know, if he had an agent, this would be so much easier and it would have already been done and the language would have been where it needs to be and we'd have had a level of communication and we wouldn't have to do it on Lamar. Like, everything is pointed at him. It's his fault because he doesn't have an agent. And where I'm in the camp of, I think an agent would help him as well. I'm not in the room. I'm not negotiating with the Ravens. You know what I mean? So I don't know exactly what's going down, but from the outside looking in, it's like, yeah, this is why they have agents, because they could be the middlemen. They're the ones that can get the feelings hurt. They're the ones that can get in, you know, into the pissing battle and say, well, this was offered. No, this wasn't offered. And now it's all of a sudden the player directly with the team, and that's when it gets a lot uglier. So again, I don't know what the truth is. I just know what's going to be perceived as, well, it's Lamar's fault because he doesn't have an agent, and that's unfortunate.
No. I get that. I get your sentiment there. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I went to law school. They always say, you know, a fool, you know, a person who represents themselves as a fool, you know, as a client, because they, you know, this is that's a legitimate job for a reason. You want a person who can think level headedly, who isn't connected to it personally, who doesn't have an adverse reaction to everything just because of that. So I feel you entirely on that point.
And I'm all for players, you know, being able to negotiate on their own. Roquan Smith did the same thing. Obviously, he worked it out in Baltimore, no problem. So I get it, and I respect everyone that can do it. You know, Richard Sherman, while he was in the league, he did it for a while. I mean, there's been a handful of players that have done it. But again, it seems like now that's going to be what's going to be leaned heavily on as far as, well, the reason why this is messy and where it's at right now is because it's Lamar's fault because he doesn't have an agent. And so that's unfortunate because none of us outside actually know, well, whose fault is this, right? Because now it's just everyone's pointing their fingers at each other back and forth, and this is where it gets really hairy. So I don't know, man. It's just about 2 weeks is wrapped up as far as free agency goes. A little bit over a month from the NFL draft. I'm assuming something would get done before then, but you know, I'll put a dark horse out there. I'm still going to watch out for Miami, because if this thing lingers and lingers and lingers and lingers, then all of a sudden the draft goes, and they don't have to worry about this year's first round pick. They could worry about next year's first round pick and the year after that, then all of a sudden they might say, yeah, we'll sign up to an offer sheet. We'll give up those two first round picks because it's not 23 and 24, it's 24 and 25. So the longer this takes, the longer this thing lingers on and the more bad feelings that happen between Lamar and Baltimore, I can see Miami creeping up and saying, yeah, we got this. And maybe even send Tua back to Baltimore.
That would be a wild change of events there of a quarterback swap there. But there's plenty of quarterbacks to also talk about in the NFL draft. I want to talk to Q because we're starting to see more of these. Alabama just had their pro day. Ohio State
Roll Tide
had their pro day. It's been an interesting time. Are you an Alabama guy? You just said Roll Tide.
Yeah, of course. Everyone knows that. I mean, not because I have any ties to Alabama, but they're really damn good. So yeah, I'm an Alabama guy. I yell Roll Tide all day. I don't care.
I got you. All good there. We'll talk about some of those top prospects. And some of the bottom prospects, not the bottom, but some of the guys who might not be looking at as far as being a top five quarterback in this NFL draft, but maybe somewhere down the line where a team who, if you think your team needs a quarterback, maybe you should be paying attention. We'll break that down in just a minute here. But first, before we do any of that, got to talk to you guys about Built Bar. And it's time for Built Bar March Madness. If you don't know about this, this is something they do every year. When March Madness comes, they have the Built March Madness bracket where you can pin up, you can look at your favorite Built Bar, Built Puff, and they're all matching up with other Built Bars and Built Puffs. And the only way to determine who wins is to vote. I'm going to be voting for Double Chocolate because that's my favorite flavor of Built Bar.
That's your favorite flavor, Double Chocolate?
Yes, sir.
That's really shocking to me, but okay. Double chocolate for you.
What's so shocking about this?
I just didn't see you as a double chocolate guy. I'm sorry. I thought you were more of a cookies and cream type dude. I'm just saying. And that actually happens to be my favorite one, is a cookies and cream. Just throwing it out there. I thought you know.
Isn't that ironic? Anyways, to make sure you're not judged, Go pick your favorite Built Bar and Built Puff in the Built Bar March Madness bracket, which you can get access to by going to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorite. And when you're voting, you can vote for your favorite. And if you're when you vote, you'll be entered into a drawing to win one of 50 prizes to get a free box of Built. Also, not only that, one Locked On fan will receive a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built's the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing. They have all this flavor. They are covered in chocolate, only packing 130 calories, but somehow fitting 17 grams of protein. Get your Built bars today and go to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite Built bar or Built puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. Again, that's builtmarchmadness.com. Back here on the Locked On NFL podcast, Chris Carter, your boy Q. Q, first of all, judging my favorite flavor.
I just didn't know. That's all. No judging here. It's a no judge. There's a judge free zone. Unless it's Aaron Judge, and then we say all rise. That's a whole other conversation.
That is pretty cool when they do that. So that's a pretty cool thing. But let's talk about these NFL draft quarterbacks, because Alabama's had its pro day, Ohio State's had their pro day, and there's still a big debate that has not been solved. Who's going to go over one first overall to the Panthers? There were a lot of people who were pushing CJ Stroud. And all of a sudden, Alabama's pro day happens, and the Panthers still got a lot of people there. And the Panthers traded up. They're going to be the number one pick. They're not trading out of it because they traded into it.
It's interesting.
You are the Panthers.
Yeah.
If you're the ex fighting Matt Rule, who is your guy in this draft class, Q?
I'll tell you what, man. That's a great question. I left the combine in Indy as you left the combine in Indy, and I believe that CJ Stroud was the dude regardless, right? I didn't care who it was because Chicago still had the number one overall pick, and I thought somebody, whoever trades up there, is going to get CJ Stroud first because what he did, he wowed at the combine, and Bryce Young didn't do anything. So I thought Bryce Young kind of didn't do himself any favors and kind of set himself back a little bit, and CJ took that number one spot. And then Carolina moved up for him, and Frank Reich has a history with bigger quarterbacks. So then I was like, done. That's a wrap. CJ Stroud is going to be the guy. But I'll tell you right now, talking to multiple people that cover the Carolina Panthers, I don't think that Carolina has decided who they want. They sent 14 people, including David Tepper, the owner, to Ohio State to see CJ Stroud and company go ahead and do their pro day. Then they send a large contingency to see Bryce Young in Tuscaloosa the very next day. They took Bryce out to dinner. They took CJ out to dinner. I mean, I don't know if they're really sold on who they want at number one yet. And the thing about it is, when they made the trade with Chicago, I thought, okay, they know exactly who they want. I think that they just now, you know, after talking to many people, like I said, I feel like they just wanted to make sure they had the number one spot so nobody could tell them anything. Nobody could control what they could control. Now they have all options open. They can go CJ Stroud. They can go Bryce Young. Hell, they can really get crazy and a little freaky and go Anthony Richardson if they want to, right? Will Levis, if that's their guy. I mean, all four of them are expected to go in the top 10. Actually, all four of them are expected to go in like the top 5, you know? So, I mean, they're going to go off the board quick, fast, and in a hurry, and Carolina controls the whole thing. So, I mean, my gut feeling, Chris, tells me CJ Stroud's going to be the guy just because of his size and the fact that that's what Frank Reich has always had is the larger quarterbacks. So I think that would take Bryce Young out of it, but I mean, you know, I've been wrong many times, and look, Will Levis is still an option and Anthony Richardson is still an option. I think all four quarterbacks are legitimately still on the table for Carolina.
I get that sense there. I do. I mean, I think that it's a smart NFL front office does not narrow themselves down before, you know, before too early. Like, you know, eventually you get down to certain guys that you want and everything. But to the outside, you do not want to broadcast who you are. Now, if you're first overall, who cares?
Right, doesn't matter. Yeah,
that's what you do. But for these other teams, there's got to be a level of care there. If you need a quarterback, but you're thinking, I don't like any of these guys, do you go get someone else? You know, the Carolina Panthers last year, I was there at Pitt's Pro Day. They were all over Kenny Pickett, didn't take him, and then he went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I wonder if there's a smoke screen here, because that's the other thing is that, like, you know, there's people who would call the draft season the season of lies.
Yeah. It's lying season for sure.
People are just saying whatever just to get you to just to get you there. But I look at how the Carolina Panthers' needs are lining up. I'm right with you. C.J. Stroud has the right build. He has a cannon. I think he sees the field well. I like Bryce Young. I think that man has ice in his veins at times when he can just lock in and make some great reads and throw the football right on the money. But man, it's tough to pass up on a guy like C.J. Stroud who has all the tools there.
Yeah, he does. And you know, the thing about Bryce that I really like is he's got the it factor. And I think he's got more of an it factor than C.J., but C.J.'s got the size, right? So those are one and two for me. And really, it doesn't really matter. I think I like Bryce Young more because of the ability. And again, I yelled out Roll Tide earlier, so you already know where, you know, what camp I'm in. But at the same time, C.J.'s got the prototypical size. He's going to be a guy that's going to beat you in the pocket. He's going to be able to throw the ball on a dime. I mean, he's accurate as all get out. If I'm playing darts, I want to play darts with CJ because he's going to throw those darts around the field. He's that guy. So, you know, I think that you really can't go wrong. Honestly, Chris, I think Houston's in a great situation because Houston's sitting at number two, and they'll take the other guy. So whoever Carolina doesn't take, Houston's going to take, and I think that they're going to be happy with either one of the guys. So I think that they're in a really good position and make Carolina make the decision instead of making them make the decision, right? I would be shocked if Houston didn't take a quarterback, so I'm sure that they will. And then you wonder, you know, okay, so what's going to happen with Will Levis and Anthony Richardson? And you mentioned Kenny Pickett, right? You mentioned him from last year. It's so funny how two seasons change, you know? I mean, all of a sudden last season, there was one quarterback that went in the first round. His name was Kenny Pickett. He went from Pitt to Pittsburgh. Right? I mean, that's how funny is that? He changed locker rooms. I mean, that's it. I mean, there's one quarterback that went. This year, we're talking about four in the top 10 for sure, and possibly a number five quarterback in the first round if you want to throw in Hendon Hooker from Tennessee, who's coming off a torn ACL, who teams might want to get and just have him on that fifth-year option because he's coming off that torn ACL. So, man, I mean, from one draft to another, things have changed, but I definitely believe it's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, whatever you want to say, one, two, and then there's everybody else.
Let's do a quick breakdown real quick on the draft, on who goes where.
Okay.
So we're saying C.J. Stroud to the Panthers.
Okay. I could get down with that.
So we're saying Bryce Young to the Texans.
Absolutely.
Who is the first non-quarterback off the board to the Arizona Cardinals?
I think that Indianapolis will probably try to trade up to number three to ensure that they get, you know, to ensure that they get their quarterback. And I think that Indy's going to go with Will Levis. So that's how I'm going there, but I think Arizona will be the first team obviously to take off, take a non-quarterback at four, once they trade with Indy, and then they get stuck in this position. Are they taking Will Anderson or are they taking Jalen Carter? And Jalen Carter very easily could be the best defensive player in the draft. I think he is, and I think he was until all the stuff off the field and obviously the bad pro day. But on film, you flip on the film, he's the baddest dude on the planet, right? I mean, he's just that guy. So some team has to make a decision on him. Some team will make a decision on him. Some team in the top 10, I believe, will make a decision on him and decide exactly where they slide him in at. And hey, this is how he's going to be okay. And he's just a young kid that made a couple mistakes. He'll be all right. And we don't have any problem giving him a whole lot of money. I don't know what team that'll be, but I think Arizona makes a decision between Will Anderson and Jalen Carter. And I'm just going to, just for the sake of trying to be safe, I'm going to say that Arizona is going to roll with Will Anderson wherever they pick, no matter if it's number three or if they trade back to number four. What do you think? Like, what do you think Arizona does?
I think Arizona rolls the dice and goes and get Jalen Carter.
Okay.
I think that enough people know that guy, there's some odd things going on right now. And I think that Jalen Carter, they're going to look at that raw talent on tape again. And I'm like, yeah, but we'll take that problem with us. Why won't we? But I'm in that position. I think that's going to be interesting. But I think what's really going to be fun is to see how the rest of the quarterbacks shake up. Because like you said, who knows? Maybe one of them's loving Anthony Richardson.
Right.
There's also
– I got a team that I think is going to get Anthony Richardson, but I'll save that for the tease.
Okay, there you go. That's the tease right there. We'll be right back talking more about the NFL draft, Lamar Jackson, everything that's going on there. We'll be talking about the QB prospects. But first, before we do any of that, love to talk to you guys about FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is, of course, America's number one sportsbook, and it's time to download it so you can get on with the America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel. And new customers, if you've never been here before, they have a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 that you get back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win on FanDuel. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores to how many three-pointers are drained. FanDuel lets you make player prop bets and gives you so many options. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Don't miss on your chance to get their no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Back here on the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's your boy Q. Q, you alluded to this as far as who would want Anthony Richardson.
Yep. I got a perfect team that I think he goes to and makes a lot of sense. And I think that team, and especially with the selection that you made for the Arizona Cardinals, you picked Jalen Carter. Mm-hmm. I picked Will Anderson. So in this scenario that I pick Will Anderson, then maybe this team isn't interested in Anthony Richardson, and they decide, hey, you know what? There's an opportunity to get a stud, defensive tackle that could have very well easily been the best player in the draft. And, well, we don't really care about anything going on off the field. We're going to take care of him, so we'll roll with that guy. But if this guy's already, if Jalen Carter's already off the board, which I believe he will be when this team goes to pick, I think Seattle gets him at number five. I think Seattle is the spot for Anthony Richardson at number five, and this is why. They have Geno Smith. He broke out last year. They signed him to a three-year extension, so they don't need, and I say that in air quotes, need a quarterback. But, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a guy that they can start to groom? Wouldn't it be nice to start to have a guy that they can kind of play that role, and you know that he only has 13 career starts in college, so he needs time to grow. But at the same time, if you can sprinkle him into some action here and there, why not? You know, if it's you get a big lead and you want to get him in some action, boom, you get him in some action. Or if you bring him in some packages, you know, oh, hey, here goes, just like Jim Harbaugh did when they were in San Francisco and he had Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick and they'd bring Cap in for some packages just to get him, you know, used to having some NFL action. I can see Geno Smith being that guy and kind of teaching Anthony Richardson the ropes. And what better place for him to be than in Seattle with Pete Carroll, where, you know, it's kind of a up-tempo type vibe, and you know, I could see a guy like Anthony Richardson with all that athleticism and all that upside really getting along well in Seattle, especially with Pete Carroll. So it just makes sense to me. And oh, by the way, just in case Geno Smith's 1 year was a fluke, you also have a backup plan, a really good backup plan that you feel good about in Anthony Richardson, and you might not want to put him in as early as you might have to, but at the same time, at least you have not just put all your eggs in the Geno Smith basket, assuming that, okay, now he's figured it out after 9 years in the league. So there's so many different reasons, but I just think that it makes a ton of sense for Seattle to have big-time interest in Anthony Richardson.
Will Levis is the guy that everyone's kind of treating like the wild card out of Kentucky. At one point, people were thinking that he was going to be the greatest quarterback of all time or something, the way they were talking about him.
He's going to end up in Indy. I think he's an Indy guy.
That's what I was – all signs point to Indianapolis. Like, we were talking about how, like, you know, smoke screens – there is no smoke screen. They want Will Levis. It's very obvious. And I think it could be end up being, like, one of those safe points where if, like, they just stay at their pick and they pick Will, like, teams can know, hey, you know what? That's the guy. If they love him, great. We don't. We're going to move on. I think it could be very interesting to see when and if the Colts select Will Levis and how teams react to it as far as getting that guy to that team.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, we kind of went through the top five already. You know, we went CJ at one, Bryce at two. Even if the Arizona Cardinals stay at number three, Will Anderson went there. You went Jalen Carter. At four, we go with Will Levis. And then five, I went with Anthony Richardson. So, I mean, that's already four quarterbacks in the top five picks right there. And there's only been one other guy come off the board, and that's a defensive player. So, you know what I mean? Like, it makes a lot of sense. I could see that shaking out exactly like that in Indianapolis getting their guy, right? Indy's been in search of their guy for quite a while. I mean, look, they had Phillip Rivers. Yeah. Then they brought in Carson Wentz. Then they had Matt Ryan. You know, so right. I mean, they've got to finally get their guy. So they don't have their guy, their long-term solution they do not have as of right now. So there you go. You can look at a guy like Will Levis and feel pretty comfortable that he's going to get that opportunity to grow in that system there in Indianapolis. So, you know, new coach, new quarterback, why not, right? So, I mean, that's kind of how I look at it. And then you start getting the run on other positions, right? You look at number six, you got the Detroit Lions. I think that they go with a defensive player right there. Then the Raiders at seven, I think that they go with a defensive player. You know, and they need a quarterback, but I don't think any of the quarterbacks, well, they're all gone. All the ones that, you know, you look at that would be top 10 guys, I think that they may be interested in that guy that we're talking about as a potential fifth quarterback in the first round, Hendon Hooker. Man. If he were to fall to the second round, I could see the Raiders going to make it a move. And because they have 12 picks in this upcoming draft and five in the first 109 picks, I can see them packaging some picks and move up to the end of the first round and grabbing Hendon Hooker so they get that fifth-year option like we mentioned earlier.
Hendon Hooker getting a fifth-year option would be very intriguing to protect him long-term because you're assuming he might take some time, one from injury, but also like just learning and adapting. Hendon Hooker, I mean, I watched this guy at Virginia Tech as well as Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Over the years, he clashed with Pitt a lot. I think I like his moxie. I like the way he carries himself. I'd be very intrigued to see how he does, you know, when he does get drafted.
Yep.
In the NFL, especially when someone gives him like the reins.
Right.
But yeah, it's a tough question. Is he good enough for a first round pick, or do you go get like, you know, if there's a run on quarterback, we're talking Bryce Young, Will Levis, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, those four, you know, we've been assuming three, but if there's a fourth in there that can kind of maybe signal a little bit that like, hey, there's four quarterbacks coming off the board in this first round. If you could have a really good shot to get, to get the skill player that you want at a different position because of how much quarterbacks are being focused on in this draft class.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the four quarterbacks will go off the board in the top 10. And I think then you'll see a run on defensive players. You know, they'll already be gone. And yeah. So it's like, all right, here goes all your defensive players. The class is very deep when it comes to corners, D tackles, edge rushers. I mean, those guys are pretty deep in the class as well. Linebackers, not so much, but there's a lot of defensive players that you can get in this draft. And I think as soon as the quarterbacks start to get picked over and, you know, gone through those first four, I think that's why, again, I think Hendon Hooker has an opportunity to slide into the first round because a team, one, might get desperate for a quarterback, and two, they might say we want to get that fifth-year option. The only question I have on Hendon Hooker, and you saw him play plenty, I mean, the guy's got a strong arm. He's very accurate. Mm-hmm. He can hit his receiver in stride. I mean, he does everything right. He threw a lot of touchdowns in 2022 before he tore his ACL, only had a couple interceptions. I just know he's coming from that Josh Heupel offense. And I look at that Josh Heupel offense just like I looked at Art Briles' offense when Briles was at Baylor. And it's like a one-read offense. Here, throw it to red. Here, throw it to yellow. Throw it to green. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a very complicated offense, and the NFL is not built like that. So can he adapt to what the NFL game is like will always be my biggest question when it comes to Hendon Hooker. He's got all the intangibles, strong arm. He could use his legs if he wants to. He's very accurate. He's a leader. I mean, he's all this. I'm not worried about his age. I know he's older than most guys, but who cares? I'm more concerned is can he pick up an NFL offense as opposed to a Josh Heupel offense where it's like, throw right, throw middle, throw left, throw middle, throw right. It's like a Madden game, right? And that's how it is. And look, I covered Baylor like a glove.
High pace.
Yep. Browse offense was awesome. It was so much fun to watch, but it was not very complicated. It really was. I mean, I could have picked it up pretty easy on who I'm supposed to be throwing the ball to. And so that's the biggest question when you look at Tennessee's offense that they're running right now and quarterbacks that are entering the league, and Hendon Hooker's up first. So we'll see if he's able to pick it up. But that'd be my only hangup I have when it comes to Hooker.
We will see. Will there be five quarterbacks that go in the first round of the NFL draft? We'll keep you updated right here on the Locked On NFL Podcast. Q, thanks so much for joining me as always on the Friday edition of the Locked On NFL Podcast. I'm Chris Carter. Q, let people can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At your boy Q254, you can find a link to Locked On Raiders, Locked On Bets, Locked On NFL. We put it out there each and every day. Always excited to hop on here, talk a little NFL with you on a Friday. And so, yeah, definitely check me out at your boy Q254 on Twitter. And you might even see me eating a cookies and cream Built Bar because, well, that's Chris Carter's favorite one that I learned today. And I had no idea. So there you go.
Double chocolate all the way. I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers podcast, just like Q hosts Locked On Raiders. You can find my work at Carter Critiques on both Twitter and Instagram. You can also read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I cover all things Pitt Athletics. Yeah, check out this show. Thanks so much for tuning in again, everyone. We'll be back next week. We'll see you finally. Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson sagas have ended. I highly doubt it. We'll probably be talking about it again. But tune in with us when we do. We'll keep you guys entertained every single Friday. Tune back into the Locked On NFL podcast Monday when we pick it back up after the weekend.